Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. The book, Ga Pijiwebuk, is full of fun, adventure, and Anishinaabe culture. It's a part of a book series aimed at keeping one Indigenous language alive and thriving. Today on our November Book of the Month, we'll hear why this project was created. There were many Indigenous minds, hearts, and generations that came together to create this vibrant language tool to encourage learning and living. Stay tuned right after National Native News as we celebrate this book and the power of Indigenous language.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Department of the Interior announced Tuesday the formation of a new Secretary's Tribal Advisory Committee. Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland talked about the committee and other initiatives during the White House Tribal Nations Summit. Haaland says the administration is working to strengthen nation-to-nation relationships with tribes.
This first ever advisory committee will be the mechanism for tribal leaders to engage in routine and robust conversations directly with me and, as importantly, with future secretaries of the Interior. We have also announced consultations on improvements to the departmental manual to strengthen our consultation processes with tribes. It's important that the department's policy encourages early, robust, interactive, pre-decisional, informative, and transparent consultation.
Haaland says starting in January, she will begin convening tribal leader engagement sessions, which will be held 3 times a year with cabinet leaders. Following her announcement, Haaland Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs Brian Newland and other administration officials held a virtual listening session with tribal leaders. Tribal leaders also took part in a panel on climate change during the White House summit. Leaders advised the administration on ways they can work with tribes by giving tribes a greater voice in policies, legislation, international forums, and research. Leaders say they're also in need of infrastructure investments as their communities deal with the impacts of climate change. Gila River Indian Community Governor Stephen Rowe Lewis talked about impacts of fires, storms, drought, and flooding. He highlighted how his tribe in Arizona has taken a lead in responding to drought.
Too many times in the past, prior administrations have tended to heed our advice and leadership with reluctance, suspicion, and hesitation. Based on my experience, tribes can and should be given an opportunity to lead with their traditional and innovative wisdom. Our history, our traditions, our values. Keep bringing us to the table early and pay attention to what we say, as this administration has been. And together, we can cooperatively help produce solutions that we're all seeking now.
Administration officials say there are current investments for tribes to tackle climate change in the infrastructure package signed by President Biden this week and resources in future grants and legislation. The 2-day White House Tribal Summit wrapped up Tuesday afternoon. Winter means wood burning for many rural and native communities who often rely on stove-generated heat, but that can mean harmful emissions. As KLCC's Brian Bull reports, a $2.5 million grant will help Oregon State University researchers explore cleaner burning stoves.
The U.S. Department of Energy's Bioenergy Technologies Office awarded the 4-year grant. Nordica McCarty of OSU's College of Engineering says work will start next summer.
And ultimately end up sharing what we've learned so that the techniques and the strategies that we learned to reduce wood smoke will then be applied in a variety of settings and through various industrial manufacturers as well.
McCarty says they're exploring the use of turbulent jets of air to make wood-burning stoves burn cleaner, even if they are overfilled or using wet wood. This can provide immediate and long-term benefits for underserved populations.
Cleaner air and better health in communities that rely on wood for heat.
Project partners include OSU Cascades and Bend and the Nez Perce Tribe based in Idaho. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
There are now booster recommendations for all three available COVID-19 vaccines in the United States, and you may choose which booster shot you receive. More info at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus, who support this show. Support by the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian, presenting the annual Native Cinema Showcase. 47 films representing 39 Native nations in 13 countries, available from November 12th to the 18th on demand at americanindian.si.edu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, coming to you live from my homelands, Ashirwitoy. Ga Pi'ijiwebak is one of a handful of monolingual books that are helping to build self-esteem and cultural awareness. It comes from a program of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe called the Anjiba Madazing. And this program is making sure that people have the tools they need to be the best they can. And that also means connecting to language, even those that are the youngest in the community. And many people who are trying to keep their language alive and thriving often lack tools to do this. And so birthed this project, which brought about several books that are being put in the hands of community members, as well as others who are wanting to connect to Anishinaabe Mowin. And we have people on the line with us today who are going to tell us about this project. And it is something pretty special, as it called storytellers, elders, and language learners to come to one room and think out loud and then put it on the pages. And we're going to hear what the book that we're featuring today is all about. But we're also inviting you into the conversation, too. If you'd like to share some thoughts, go ahead and dial in, talk directly to our guests by calling 1-800-996-2848. And the first 10 callers to give us a ring and get on air with their comments or questions will receive a complimentary copy of Ga Pi'ijiwebak, courtesy of the Minnesota Historical Society Press. And with that, we are going to go ahead and say hello to our first guest who joins us today out of California. On the line is Babita Boyd, and she is the Senior Advisor on Language Revitalization Initiatives for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. And she is an enrolled citizen of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. Our pleasure to have her here with us. Babita, welcome, and please feel free to further introduce yourself.
Ani miigwech mi babi thogi jigukoye ma jekekini mi koya minwa tashuti sizaga igining ma inda bin dagoziyan minwa ma inda nokian inda shin thawagi agwan ni janisag. My name is Babi Thogi jigukoye, and I'm from the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. I am calling in today from California, but I reside on Lake Mille Lacs, and that's where I raised my children and my family. And I just want to say thank you very much for having me on the call today.
And so, Babita, I gave a little bit of where this all came from, but I think it's a pretty special story that should be told, especially being in that room where language speakers were there with those who have tools to put it down on the pages. And go ahead and start with just giving us the background on how the series came to be.
Sure. So it actually starts way back about 10 or 12 years ago. I was a brand new baby language learner in my community in Mille Lacs. And I actually got I got wind of a project that was taking place that was being facilitated by Dr. Anton Troyer. And that project was a bookmaking project. And he explained to me at that time that it was a series of children's books that were monolingual and Ojibwe specific, with Ojibwe content and first language speaker authors. And so there were second language learners that were assigned to that project. and they work together to develop stories, storyboarded content making, and then they did this very unique and very powerful group editing session where all of the fluent native first speakers sat together and critiqued and worked with each other to develop the, to fine-tune the formatting and the way that it was going to be written. And at that time, it was such a powerful notion to see, to think that we could have monolingual Ojibwe resources that didn't rely on English as a crutch for a translation, and that we were developing resources that were going to be geared and targeted towards a monolingual Ojibwe-speaking, Ojibwe-fluent audience. And because we don't necessarily have those bigger communities that speak Ojibwe comfortably, and younger generations that do that, it was a really forward-thinking notion to stay ahead of the curve and to continue manifesting proficiency in the communities by developing resources that would be ready for an audience. And so we were putting, I was a bystander at the time. And as I progressed in my own language revitalization journey and worked with and for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, I've always had that as a goal to help engage our native fluent speaker population at Mille Lacs. So I took the hint from Dr. Troyer, and I saw the things that he was able to move forward and create with partnerships. And when I was in a position of, I guess you could say, influence and leadership in my home tribe, I was able to help facilitate that same type of project. And so with that, Ga Pie Jue book is just one book of five compilations of 100 plus stories that are our fluent speakers and our community experts and our second language learners were able to put together. Thank you.
Wow. And I'm inspired, and especially seeing some of the way that you've even written and spoke about this project, that this is helping the community build self-esteem, also, build identity. And I think when we start applying those kind of concepts to the programs that we create, to the materials that we create, I think that changes the dialogue a lot of times. And for you, Babita, what would you like to say more about when we create these tools? We're doing more than just, creating a space for beautiful images to get on the pages, as well as creating a book. There is something more going on. And again, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is a number. Go ahead, Babito.
Thanks. Well, what I would say to that is that for generations, we've had imposed American and mainstream education policies, both for public schools that are near our reservations and communities, but also Bureau of Indian Education, tribally controlled schools also, have not had the richness of resources that are culturally assuring, culturally affirming types of curriculum. We're decades behind, decades if not generations behind that, having the same amount of resources that a mainstream American education system would have or an institution would have. And so from that, I would say that part of the challenge is renormalization and actually getting community buy-in that our knowledge is as valid as that of mainstream education and that it is relevant and it's as relevant as we want it to be. And what I would say also is that, try singing the national anthem in another language. Would it feel American? Would it, and so when you think about Anishinaabe language or Ojibwe language, the things that we're missing out, we don't know what we don't know. And the things that we're missing out on, there's a very deep and an abundant and a limitless amount of experiences from the generations past and also the things that are happening today that we're not able to tap into in English. And so there's a whole nother worldview that our younger generations are missing out on. And from and what we hear from fluent speakers and in our elder community is that cultural practices that guide our lifestyle and guide kinship and connection and promote love and then also promote the ability to kind of process life, those things are built into ceremonial practices and the language. And so without that, we find that our communities are suffering from higher rates of, you know, health disparities and a number of social issues and dysfunctional family cycles. And so what we would like to do is try to develop as many resources as possible so that people have access to that information and they have a non-confrontational and a supportive access to language so that we can help people feel Ojibwe. So thinking Ojibwe, feeling Ojibwe, sounding Ojibwe. And we wholeheartedly believe that that's where people will get their emotional and spiritual support, their ability to connect with their loved ones in the natural world, and then also to gain the tools necessary to be self-sufficient and ultimately more employable and being a contributor to the community.
Indeed. And, you know, our language, it truly is. It truly is medicine. And sometimes you can be going along in your day and then all of a sudden the language comes past you or you're speaking some of those words. And I think it switches things up and gets you into a different kind of mindset. Or sometimes you've been away from home for a while, you come home and then you hear that language and things just open up. We're going to hear more about this project, and we're also going to give some books away coming up right after the break. We'll go straight to the pages of our featured book this month, and we'll hear directly from the illustrator and what it meant to put images to this important work. If you would like to join us, go ahead and dial in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your calls and giving away some of these books, copies of Gapi Ijiwebak. We'll be right back after this break. But again, if you want to join us, dial in now. Got to make it on air to get a copy, which means you got to dial now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Join us today on our November Book of the Month, where we are turning it to the language.
Long-standing neglect and poor health management from governments outside of Native nations jeopardized the health and safety of Native people during the pandemic. That's one conclusion in research analyzing COVID-19's impact. We'll hear more and learn recommendations for solutions on the next Native America Calling.
As tribal leaders, we know we need to protect our elders, but it isn't always apparent what harms them. Some of our elders feel socially isolated or lonely. The more we are socially connected with our family and community, the less health problems we will have and the longer we will live. As tribal leaders, we can also create programs to help our elders. Connected together, we'll stand strong. More on elder isolation and caregiver resources at ConnectedIndigenousElders.org. The National Indian Council on Aging supports this show.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are celebrating our indigenous language today. We're hearing about Anishinaabe Minoan, and it is something that we're hearing is a lifeline for Anishinaabe communities. And with us on the line today is Babita Boyd. She is connected to a project that birthed a series of books creating resources, monolingual books that are helping tribal communities get closer with the language. There are several books in the series, and today we are taking a look at the book, Gapi Ijiwebak, and we're also giving away copies of it. If you'd like to join us, dial in now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and open up these phone lines. We're going to start off saying hello to Susan, who is in the Lukutere Ojibwe community in Wisconsin, tuned in on WOJB. Susan, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. You're on air.
Great. Yep, Miigwech, for letting me have some time on the air. I'm so happy to hear about the book as being a resource for tribal communities. At Lakota Ray, we're doing a volunteer teaching session, and an elder, a traditional lady, is our teacher, you know, Joyce Butler Miller, and everything's volunteer, so in return, we try to have food and all the things that make a person comfortable, and including any kind of resources that we can find for her, and this book would be great. You know, the speaker, your guest, really talked about how the book delves into the culture. And it's not just a language, it really represents our culture. You know, for example, I'm writing an article right now talking about some elders. And in just adding the word bun, you know, it denotes that that the elders in the spirit world. And in no way can the English language compare to the depth of our culture in terms of how we can practice and protect and preserve our culture through preserving the language. So I'm very appreciative of being able to see this book out there in the world for Indigenous people who are trying to learn. And, you know, we do struggle with the language when we don't have the benefit of being first language speakers today. And the charter schools are trying to do a good job in producing some of the first language speakers. And that takes a long time to develop. So the rest of the community, you know, we struggle in terms of not having access to those types of classrooms and materials. So very, very appreciate it. Miigwech.
And thank you for your call, too. And Babito, anything you want to tell Susan?
Miigwech, for taking the time to call in. I just want to say that there were a number of helpers in the project from the Lakota Ray community, and we're very grateful to have the schools there, the immersion school specifically, Wadukudaring, as a incubator for creating language speakers, but then also a training ground for teachers in the region. And so, Miigwech, for calling in from Odawa Zaga again, we appreciate that.
Indeed. And now we're going to go to the Fond du Lac community in Minnesota to say hello to Alex, who's tuned in on WGZS. Alex, welcome. You're on air.
Hey, bonjour, Kinawa, Pagwachinini, Indigenous Class, Nagisi, and Dure, Paposhkom, and Etagong, and Ranongum, Gimekwechuegum, Apche, Indigikamege, Mazenaikan, anyway, Mazenaikan. Hello, my name is Alex Komet. I'm an immersion educator living out Fond du Lac, but from Red Lake. I want to say thank you for all the work that you guys have done to work on these books. They're definitely great resources. And Babito, Gigwigogwechimin, I want to ask you if there's any type of work that's going on at Mille Lacs or elsewhere that you know of to develop curriculum to implement these books within the classrooms, within the Ojibwe language speaking classrooms. Not necessarily within the immersion schools, but say at the Neoshing school or elsewhere. Miigwech.
All right, Alex. Babito, anything you want to tell Alex?
Miigwech, Bugwech, Samaga, Big Canoosian. Miigwech, Oindam, Sanama, Ije, Dishikman, Eo, Ojibwe, Moin, Gayigin. Minoa Desho, the Pitain Daman or no Mazanagan and Maga Gawashatua and Gilchaya, Gudi Mrs. Agaiganing, Minoa, Minoa Deshma Nigan, Gishpin, Wina Kamagak, Minoa, Ma de Osh Jagadig, and no Mazanagan and Minoa, Butch Gaygi, Magidaganunigo. Tara, that's all I wanted to say to him.
All right, thank you for that. And we're going to go ahead and take another call. We got Michael in Jemez, Pueblo, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Michael, thanks for reaching out. You're on air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, earlier you mentioned something about coming back to the reservation when you've been away. a while. I went to school in Santa Fe back in the day at St. Catharines. And we, you know, when you come back home from boarding school, like in the big holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and whatnot, and you hear the language, especially if you have elders in your family that belong to spiritual organizations, you know, something in you just in the back of your the hair in the back of your neck just rises, you know, and like you said, there's all kinds of stuff that comes that you come alive in you. You know, it's an awakening at the same time. And then now that you know, with COVID and whatnot, a lot of our parents have experience, whether in the military or maybe even boarding school, other tribes or off reservation, big cities, and sometimes they seek their fortune and by going to places that they have experienced, and sometimes they come back sparsely or not at all. So, you know, a book like this would be valuable for those families and those people that hardly come back to the reservation, but they still have that knowledge and that experience.
Indeed. You know, we're still connected even if we're far away. Thank you for your call, Michael. And I want to go ahead and bring in somebody who did a lot of justice to all of this work through imagery. With us on the line is visual artist from the Red Lake Nation, Jonathan Thunder. He is an illustrator on the book that we're featuring today, Ga Pe'iji Wabak. And we are also giving away 10 copies. And after Michael, it looks like we have 7 copies left. So there's plenty to be shared, but you got to make it on air to get one. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Jonathan Thunder, he joins us today from Duluth, Minnesota. Jonathan, thanks for joining us. Go ahead and feel free to further introduce yourself.
Buju, Tara, Mai Dubui, Wazans, Indigenous, Jonathan Thunder, Indigenous, Misquaw Gummy Wee, Zagae Gunning, and Dunjaba. My name is Jonathan Thunder, and I'm from the Red Lake Band of Ojibwe. Nice to be here.
Great. Great to have you, Jonathan. And so take us into Ga Pe'iji Wabak and exactly what we find in the pages. Well, how do you like to describe it?
Man, I just got to say that, you know, in this book project that I was on the post-production team, I'll say, Babata was like, you know, a real hero to me because her and the team that worked together to put this book together made something possible not only for me to learn from and have an experience as a working artist, but will benefit generations to come. You know, like personally, I'm expecting my first child in February, and you know, it means so much that we'll be able to have this stuff. And even though I'm not fluent in Ojibwe, you know, I grew up in the Twin Cities, kind of removed from some of this cultural you know, language, you know, it'll be nice to sit down with my child and read this stuff and give them firsthand experience hearing the language and trying to understand, you know, like what it means from the Ojibwe perspective with my limited personal knowledge. Although I will say that when I was illustrating the books, the team really made it kind of easy on me by providing notes and cues that were written in English so that I was able to kind of get a wish list from the storytellers themselves, the elders who are first language speakers, you know. And it was really important to me to try to put myself in the place of those elders as they were telling a story who, you know, were telling stories from the 50s up to current time, which is my parents' generation. And really gave me an insight, you know, as to what the generation that came before me experienced prior to me coming here and, you know, all my experiences as an Indigenous person living in this country and living in this world. So it was, you know, it was an emotional journey. I'll say there were times where, you know, I was sort of like going from the notes and then I'd be using the Ojibwe People's Dictionary to try to figure out the rest of the story word for word. And just like really being moved, you know, and really feeling, you know, a bit of importance, you know, or purpose. And it's something that years ago when I went to school to be an artist and learning how to paint and do digital artwork, I never imagined that my tribe would come forward and just say, hey, man, we got some work for you and it's important. So time to be part of the tribe. So
yeah,
that's an amazing experience. And
you're doing it in a wonderful way. And, you know, Jonathan, because I am not an Anishinaabe speaker, the way I was able to get into this book was through your images and just kind of flipping through the different pages and seeing what the image was and, you know, wondering what kind of context this was providing for these beautiful stories that these elders were sharing. And for you, take us to one particular story and of course, give the background on it. But one of these stories that just moved you or maybe even turned you into a child yourself where you wanted to know more or, you know, creating images to reflect on the excitement you were hearing in the stories.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd say that obviously some of them kind of reach out to me more than others. There's a lot of different, I will say, subjects, you know, like food sovereignty, you know, like where it was and where it is now. And people who are trying to reach out to members, you know, who might be like part of the medicine societies and stuff because they need help, you know, like spiritually and stuff like that. Those are things that I've learned about in my journey, you know, sort of like this kind of journey that I've been on from growing up in the melting pot Minneapolis to through my art becoming part of the tribe. And, you know, I just want to say that it's kind of funny because they're not necessarily what I would call stories for children. And some of the content, you know, involves children, but it's not like, let's say a particular publisher is trying to publish a kid's book and they're, you know, like creating a very safe and educational environment around like a kid who has a friend that's, you know, their best friend is a dog or something, and they like go to a powwow or something, and it's an amazing dream. That is a very kind of like dream, like whimsical and safe story to tell. These stories were based on some of the adventures that these elders had when they were kids. One drawing in particular was these kids that they skipped school. They wanted to catch a rabbit because they were hungry, and a couple of them went to catch a rabbit. A couple of them went to steal some potatoes from somebody's garden nearby. And they were, I would say, you know, like 9, 10, 11, and they didn't really know how to do this. So they found some gasoline and started a huge fire and wound up like just completely destroying this rabbit that they got. And it was, you know, it smelled like gas, it tasted like gas. And one of the illustrations for that was some kids standing next to a huge fire with a gas can in their hand, and they're all sort of like being blown back by the flames. Now, when that got to the design team in the publishing house, there was an issue with that image because it's quote-unquote kind of like hard to market, I guess you could say. But that's not the point of these illustrations. It made them really interesting. You know, the point is to tell the real story that these elders are telling, you know. And these stories are stories that I've heard from my parents, you know, and their parents. And it's, you know, it's the authentic voice that I was able to illustrate here. It very exciting.
Yeah, and just even talking about that reminds me of some of my favorite stories that my mom would tell of her brothers, and they'd go off during the day, and they didn't have to worry because they would find the food on the land or you know, go hunting, and they'd make their lunch as little boys. And I just always, you know, enjoy hearing of those kind of times. And our elders, the lives or the world that they were living in, you know, are very special times. And if we don't open our ears, we miss out on a lot of great things. Very nice. Well, coming up after the break, you're going to hear words directly from the book. And we hope that you will also dial in, and if it is opening up your ears and hearts more to hear Anishinaabe on these airlines, or, well, these airwaves today, we sure hope you'll call in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We definitely look forward to your calls. And we do have a link to the book on our website, nativeamericacalling.com. And that's where you can also find this program one more time. If you need to hear it one more time, you can always find it archived right there on nativeamericacalling.com. But again, we are inviting you into this conversation. You are hearing how important language is to this project, and also the stories of our elders. Simple ones, ones that maybe they think, no, that can't be in a book. It sounds like this project is totally turning that around and giving people ideas. Maybe it's giving you an idea today. Maybe you didn't publish a book, but you wrote a story that your elder shared with you. What about even sharing it in your own language? You can give us a ring, share in this conversation. There are plenty of books left. To get one, all you got to do is dial in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Share your thoughts. And we know there's a lot of people who teach the language out there. If you got questions for these folks on how they made all of this happen, now is your time to ask. Go ahead and dial right now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you just tuned in, this is Native America Calling. We are live. I'm Tara Gatewood, and this is our November Book of the Month. And we are featuring the publication Ga Pe'ijiwebak. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts and hearing your questions. So go ahead and dial in now. Phone lines are open.
Bonjour. Gide namanji owen da bizane dagwad. Gida bindige biagaz jidabaige siwan nanda wiagoyen. Gashkidino gizisung ma dagenzod binish gichimani to gizisung. Medas weyashinano gonagazid. Ganoje no kid and Anishinaabe akwazi wagamigung nawaj jigikain daman. Mawadishiwain healthcare.gov. Gema ganoj 1-800-318-2596. Gaundinagadeg the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Thanks for tuning in today here on Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are featuring a fun project. It is something that has birthed several books, and the one that we are featuring today is called Ga Pe'ijiwebak, and it features the voices of elders, and there are plenty of stories in this book that are helping people with the language. The whole book is in the Anishinaabe language. And so it is asking readers to think and to speak all in the language. And a resource like this, I'm hearing sometimes, is really hard to find. If you want to share some thoughts on that, you can call in. And when you make it on air, you will receive a complimentary copy of Ga Pe'ijiwebak by dialing in, courtesy of the Minnesota Historical Society Press. And so let's go ahead and hear from another caller on the line. We have Daryl, who's joining us today from the Lakotere Ojibwe community, tuned in on WOJB in Wisconsin. Daryl, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. You're on air.
Yes, I'm really glad to hear about this book. I mean, it's so important, as we know, that we hear words from our elders and their wisdom and such. And I have, over the years, I've looked for books for my grandchildren for presents and stuff for their birthdays and for Christmas. And I know the books are out there, but it's hard to find them on the shelves. And so it's great when we have these books out, and especially when coming from elders with their involvement, I think it has more of an impact and meaning to them.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to introduce you to one of the elders connected to this project. Again, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. There are plenty of books left, but you got to dial fast. We are going to go ahead and welcome in an elder who is a part of the project with us on the line. Actually, we got to hold a minute. Well, we wait for our elder to jump back on, I'm going to turn it back to our guests. Joining us today out of Duluth, Minnesota, is Jonathan Thunder. Here, too, is Babitoe Boyd, who joins us today out of California. And you know what, Babitoe, I think we do need you to share some from the book. And so let's have a little bit of story time. Is there a piece that you can read for us?
Of course. Can you hear me okay?
Got a little bit of distortion. I'll let you get prepared. And while we do that, I'm going to turn it over to Jonathan. Jonathan, you know, stories are important. Tell us about another story in the book.
Yeah. Well, I think there's, you know, these stories, they always end on a, you know, a good beat, right? You know, they're not necessarily just stories with no point. I think that's why they were chosen. And one of the stories that I'm just kind of flipping through the PDF now, one of them is about this little boy that was kind of a bully to these four young girls that lived in the same community with him. And he tipped them over in a boat, in a rowboat, when they were kind of just trying to enjoy a sunny day on the lake. And they must have drowned. And he thought it was funny. So later, they catch up to him at the trading post and issue a little bit of their own justice once they find him. You know, and it was a fun project to it was a fun story to illustrate, because I remember seeing some scenarios like this growing up. But yeah, these young ladies sort of surround this guy at the trading post, and I drew a picture of him kind of sweating bullets. And it looks like he's getting ready to get tuned up, which is, you know, it's a real story. You know, these things happen, and it's not necessarily to like shock people or anything like that. It's just to, you know, preserve history and give a real glimpse of the stuff, you know, like what some of these elders experienced growing up.
And I like how the details of their life are being shared. And sometimes, like I said, people think that's not an important story, but they are. They're important, even the details. Thanks for that, Jonathan. And let's see, I think we got our line going good again with Babitoe. Babitoe, go ahead and share some of the story.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're sounding great.
Great. This story is called Bukete Giagewin, and I'm going to read a paragraph from the story. Mia Awabishkubanes Gatabajimot. It's Joe Nekwenebi Sr. and his partner was Dustin Burnett. Oh, give me one. Gikikino Maguyan, Iwidionemia, Giayamaga, Dio Dajitadiwin Sports, Gokush Bikwakwood, Bikwakwood, Binjoy Binagewin, Na Bukete Giagewin. Mia Tigo, Io Binjoy Binagewin, Gagi Kindaman. Midashi Oga Tajitayan Ziguang Dashmagi Bukateji Gaywork Ngikagwejimega Oga Niganizin Gikikno Moawad no Abanojian Gay Bukateji Gainijin Ngikagwejimig Jibu Gojitchigayan Jitajitayan Ngiminwindan Dajitayan Gibukatean Eo Bikwakwad Nagay Eo Ngi Apogajigay So that was a paragraph that was written by Joe Nekwenebi Sr. And he just describes that the local public school is where sports took place, and that they played football, basketball, and baseball. And he just described that the coach had asked him to go out for baseball when basketball was all he knew, and so he did, and he tried it and he enjoyed it. And then he also said that he played baseball, he pitched, and then he also played outfield.
And so Babitoe, tell me what that was like just now. We're trying to connect with an elder who contributed to the book but are having difficulty connecting with them, and they were going to do the reading, and so on the fly you jumped in to do this. And I'd really like to know how that felt, just taking a page and you were able to read in your language, and I hear you're understanding it too. What did that feel like?
Well, I got to say that, you know, in my earlier years, I once you understand the writing system, it's very easy, I guess you could say, to pronounce the words, and then the comprehension comes later. The more that you have experience listening to the natural flow and sound of the language, and you do the work on the vocabulary development. For reading Ojibwe, understanding Ojibwe comprehension, I'm confident that the majority of language that I'm reading, I have a grasp of. I gotta say that I have a lot to learn left, but when it comes to a direct translation, you know, Ojibwe and English are very, very different languages as far as, you know, the mechanics and how our Ojibwe language is polysynthetic in that it's very verb-based. And so it's very different from how English functions. And so I guess I gotta say that the translation is not a word for word verbatim translation. I think it's more generalizations. And I'm very happy to do it if that's acceptable.
Well, you sure have impressed me and maybe encouraged others to just go for it, get your read on. Is there another one you can share with us, Babito?
Let's see here. I can try one here. So Dajim, this one is Gaitiwa Bikwe, Ishkwe Jagan Gagige Kamigukwe and Wastigwan me oh James Mitchell got Tabajimod Minwa Wabishke Gabo ka Tabajimawajin. So Dajima Dishiwe Waruma in Dayang, me ashugwa gaitiwa bikwe maga ishigwe jamad gagige. Gagwejim Gagwejim Awi was in stove Bashkazwad no Gagwan. Gigamin one jigamin ishpin the target. Namama gaiji be bagimit, gaiji windamoid, gag nuiamwanan, gidao bashkuzwana, ao gag, and then a quaitoa. Aninke dudu. Aninke dudu, duduag the bean ug. Miajigo windamoid, akea, the bean ug, ao gag. This one, you can hear, made me laugh a little bit because I didn't necessarily prepare to read this clip, but this is a paragraph that was written by James Mitchell and assisted by Wabushki Gabo John Benjamin, who is a fellow second language learner in my community. And it just describes, it describes a time where James's mother was hungry and asked him to go and shoot a porcupine. And I believe this is an illustration by Jonathan, and it's very funny. There's a man holding a dead porcupine on this particular page. And it's just a very funny impromptu paragraph.
You had all of us at the edge of our seat wondering, what is she laughing at? What is she laughing at? Jonathan, anything you want to say about this story and bringing the image forward?
Yeah, I remember kind of thinking about Elmer Fudd, I guess, when I was writing just the image of somebody out trying to catch a porcupine. And if you look at the book, you can see that I probably was summoning the spirit of Elmer Fudd as I was illustrating it.
Well, I think you did a good job. And what about just finding fun in this project too? Because a lot of times when people are learning the language, it's stressful and people are just, you know, thinking about this and sometimes they doubt themselves that they can't make their tongue make those right sounds, or that they're never going to be able to comprehend this. And here we go, a little bit of dose of fun and that other good medicine, laughter. Jonathan, anything you want to share on that?
Yeah, I will say, you know, book, just from being somebody who isn't fluent, I will say the book is, as a fully immersive book, probably intimidating at first glance, but if you're interested, You wanna? I had a good time just sort of like going through and like looking up the words and really trying to figure out what was being said here. You know, and it's just a journey. You know, when I go to the meetings that Baba Tao and Anton put on to sort of gather all of these stories, it's just so fascinating to sit back and listen to everybody talk in Ojibwe language, and I'm sort of picking up words here and there. And the more I work with these guys, like the next meeting I come back, I understand just a little more. So it's the journey.
Wow, that's great. My hats are off to you. And that's how it is. Sometimes a couple of words, a couple of phrases. And then the cool part is when it just all starts feeling natural. Maybe you have your own language learning journey you want to share a little bit about. You got to dial fast to make it into the conversation today. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And when I look at the table of contents, I'm seeing 56 stories in this book. And that's a lot of content. And like I said, people who are always searching for resources, here is just one book with 56 stories, and there's a series of them. That's really impressive. And Babita, is there anything you want to share about just the whole series or you know, where people can get these resources? I know we do have a link on our website to the Minnesota Historical Society Press, which is providing books today. But just anything you want to share about that, about maybe some of the other books that are also available, and what it means to hand somebody a book and say, here are 56 stories in our language.
Yeah. I just want to say that Anishinaabe people of all kinds, all across the country, we deserve a literary voice, and we deserve to have appropriate, authentic depictions of ourselves and our history. And we deserve to lift up the stories and the experiences of the people in our communities and have access to them. And so this project has been sincerely fulfilling. And I continue to read these stories and have my children page through and look at the pictures. I'm raising my children to be bilingual. And it's just very meaningful to me that, and I'm very proud of our tribal community in Mille Lacs to have helped see this project through, and very excited and proud of the partnership with the Minnesota Historical Society Press, because it is such, it's such a strong move and a forward move for an organization like the press to take on doing 5 compilations of these stories and producing them, printing them without having anybody on staff that can read them. And so they are putting a lot of trust in the relationships and the partnerships between our facilitators, our linguists, and the Mille Lacs Band. And so I just wanted to make that statement and end with, we're going to do everything we can to continue documenting the rich lived experiences of fluent speakers and elders in our community, and making sure that information is available for generations to come.
Mm-hmm. And that is a really huge step, and just so much encouragement in the world of keeping our languages alive by hearing all of your stories, and also hearing about this project. Wow, that hour went by really fast. That's going to do it for our November Book of the Month. Really appreciate everyone who contributed to this project. And I'm seeing all these elders' names. They definitely deserve a moment for me to just sit here and read all these names, but we got to wrap things up. Thank you to the elders who participated in this and those people who were willing to learn, listen, and help create this book. And thank you to our guests, Babito Boyd, as well as Jonathan Thunder. Thank you for sharing the story behind Ga Pi'ijiwebak. And also thank you to the Minnesota Historical Society Press for providing copies of the book. And with that, we are going to wrap things up. We sure hope you'll tune in again tomorrow to Native America Calling for an Indigenous View on COP26. I'm Tara Gatewood, wishing you the best of the rest of your day.
Bonjour. Life's an adventure, but your health shouldn't be. Check out open enrollment options November 1st through January 15th. Contact your local Indian healthcare provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support by Roswell Park, who know tribal communities face persistent challenges in health equity, such as cancer and higher death rates. The Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center is dedicated to advancing cancer research that will lead to translatable science, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous populations worldwide. Are you at high risk for cancer? A no-charge online assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.